And our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting to read at verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to Christ.
Shall we pray? God, our Father, we do thank you for your presence here among us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to worship, you will continue to speak to each one of us deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a question this morning. Do you, or do I, or do we as a church want to bear fruit for God's kingdom? Thankfully, I've got a lot of nods because, yes, that's hopefully the right answer. Because this, in fact, is what we've been thinking about, hasn't it, over the last weeks as we've begun to talk about church growth and how we can grow as a church in numbers, we can grow spiritually, and we can grow for our work within the community here. And I think this passage that we've just had read for us has a few things to say about how we go on. In fact, it's got a lot to say, and I can't do it all this morning, but I've picked out three particular things that I'd like us to think about for just a little while. The first one might be quite obvious. It's about abiding in Christ. The second one is pruning in order to bear good fruit. And my third one is where it finishes, remaining in Christ. So first of all, abiding in Christ. You know, when Jesus used the picture of a vine, he knew what he was talking about. He knew his listeners would understand. He always picked things, didn't he, that everybody understood, that people knew and could understand what his message was coming through. Because you see, over and over again in the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as the vine or the vineyard of God. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, all talk about Israel as the choice vine plucked from Egypt and planted by God. So they know that symbol. It's also, we hear about the failure of the vine quite a lot in the Old Testament as the people of Israel go away from God and enemies attack them. But all the time we're hearing that God continues to tend his vineyard. He never leaves his people. And if the people of that time were to go into the temple, which they would do, wouldn't they, regularly, there was a great golden vine trailing over the porch of the temple. Such a symbol in Israel is the vine. And the coins of that time even had vines on them. And of course, wherever they looked, they could see vineyards. If you've been in Israel, you'll know that. Loads of vineyards. So this was something that the people knew about. They could see them every day and understood something about vines and vineyards. Have you ever seen vines growing? Yes, there's quite a few. I want to tell you a little story, really. We've a long time ago, worked in Knaresborough in a school in one evening a week running a youth club. I can't even remember the name of the school now. It was when we worked with Youth for Christ. And in that school, there was a vine. And you could find the root of that vine, and the branches wandered all over the school on the ceilings along corridors. And hanging on that were huge clumps of grapes. There always were. It was incredible. And it used to surprise me that in a school they stayed there, you know. And then I realised it was a primary school. The kids couldn't reach them. So needless to say, when we ran the youth club, we blocked that bit off so they couldn't get there. But we can understand that illustration, really, a vine being there and the branches going out all over the place. But we need to think a little bit further than that, I think, about the vine. Because that, I say, is something we understand, isn't it? The tree, it's almost like a tree trunk we're thinking of, isn't it? And branches going off. But Jesus doesn't say in this passage that, like God says in the Old Testament, he doesn't tend the vine. He is the vine. And that's a bit different. I've been very privileged, actually, in going abroad most summers for my holidays, and I know many of you have. And in all the countries I go to, like Spain or France or Greece, there's always loads of vineyards. And if you look at those vines, they're not quite like the one I saw when we were in Knaresborough with it trailing along corridors. They're sort of more compact plants, really. You know, they sort of grow up, and they seem to me, they look a little bit like as though they're all one. They're all the branches and all the roots and all the fruits is all one. You see, I think that's a very interesting picture. The roots, the branches, the fruit. They're all an integral part of the whole. And they're necessary for the vine to be complete. So when Jesus is saying he is the vine, he's actually saying he's all of that. He's in all of that, isn't he? He's in the roots, he's in the branches, he's in the fruit. He's the whole thing. It's a little bit different. So when he says that we are the branches, that actually would mean we're part of him and he's part of us. We're part of a whole thing there. And this makes it a little bit different, doesn't it, as thinking of us as an odd little branch wandering off here and there. We're actually part of a whole. We're one with Jesus. When we know him as our Lord and Saviour. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that if we're abiding in him, if we know him, if we've given our lives to him, we're part of him and he is part of us. He comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit. We're all one. He's saying, let's walk together. Let's do what you want to do for the kingdom, what he's calling you to do, together with him. And then we'll see fruit growing for his kingdom and for his church. And you know what? Abiding in Christ is a decision we have to make. Are we going to do that? Are we going to let him fill our lives, be part of our lives? And almost, it's a decision we have to make every day, every morning. Am I going to walk today fully with Jesus in everything? You know, moving on then to the next point. When we decide to walk with Jesus, when we offer our lives to him, and his Holy Spirit is living within us, there's work to do. Because you see, Jesus doesn't just see us as that person who comes to us, to him. He sees us as what we can become in him. And that's exciting. He can see more of what we're able to do, how we're able to work in his kingdom, than we can see ourselves. So there's work to do, isn't there? And in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it would be even more fruitful. So pruning in order to bear good fruit. If you're a gardener, you'll understand that. You know, I sometimes worry when I see Paul going out into the garden with secateurs. You know, what's he going to do? What's he going to cut down in the garden now? Well, he does know what he's doing. Most of the time. But I won't say that too loudly. My dad used to worry very much when he saw Paul go into his garden with secateurs. He likes cutting things down. But I've discovered some things about growing vines. Do you know, it's a plant, actually, that needs an awful lot of care. And a lot of attention, on and on and on, if it's going to bear good fruit. And it has to be planted in good, clean soil. Interesting, the clean bit there, isn't it? It grows very quickly. But it's interesting to know that a young vine isn't allowed to fruit for 3 years. And every year, its branches are drastically cut back to develop and conserve its life and its energy. It bears two kinds of branches. No, I didn't know that. One that bears fruit and one that doesn't. And the branch that doesn't bear fruit gets cut back very drastically, because so the strength can go into the good branch and bear the fruit. It all adds to the picture of what this vine is, isn't it? And how Jesus works within us, because he actually needs to prune us and change us so that we can bear good fruit, the very best fruit possible for his kingdom. And you know, being pruned and being changed by God is sometimes a painful process, because we don't always like to change, do we? You know, I've just found over my lifetime that every time I feel comfortable somewhere and I'm getting on with God's work and saying, I like this, I like being here, God gives me a prod, because there's something else, something new to learn, something to move on to, and it can be uncomfortable. And Paul and I are going through this at the moment. Things are changing here in St. Andrews, aren't they? And especially over the last year, when we've been up front all the time, we're not anymore. And that God is moving us on. He's moving us to new things, and it's exciting. But it's also painful, isn't it? It's painful to leave things behind. But if we have Jesus at the forefront of our minds, it can only be exciting. It can only be great. So what does he want to change in us all? Does he want to change what we're doing? Does he want to change our attitudes and our thought patterns? That's happened to me over the years. I'm sure it has to you too. You know, I can remember the time when we went into ministry, when Paul was in a very well-paid job, and we had a very big house and 2 cars and loads of money. And God said, I want you to change. I want you to be different from that. That's not what I've called you for. And it was painful, because change is painful. But my goodness, it was the best. And you all have stories like that. I'm not the only person here who's got stories like that. Share them with each other. It's so important that we share our stories of what God has done in our lives, because that helps us all to move on. To think, well, where is God leading me? What has he done so far? Where is he taking me now? There's always more. There's always something new with our Lord. And sometimes, of course, in life, hard things happen, don't they? Hard things that we have to live through. But you know, even in them, Jesus can teach us so much and bring us through stronger than we were before. I know that the biggest time of growth for us has been when times have been hard. So I encourage each one of us to allow Jesus to prune us so that the fruit can grow. And what fruit are we wanting to grow? Well, in ourselves we want to grow fruit, don't we? And we know this, don't we? We know the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's on the screen, yes, there's some lovely pictures there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's in fact becoming more like Jesus, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And what God wants to do in us today and every day is between us and him, isn't it? It's our relationship with the Lord, and he takes us, because every single one of us in this room will be in a different place with the Lord and being taken different ways. But what of our church? Is this the way our church wants to grow? Does it want to show this sort of fruit? Of course it does. So we need to help and encourage one another in this as we move forward. Because you see, you can't be a Christian on your own, can you? We all know that. We all need to be in fellowship, helping each other, encouraging one another to move forward with Jesus. And when we do that, who knows what fruit God's going to grow in Stahlbeck. It's going to be fantastic. Fantastic. And my final point is remain in Jesus. It's almost like abiding, isn't it? But it's a bit more, remain. How do we do it? We've talked about coming to him, haven't we? Giving our lives to him. But how do we remain there? Well, we first realise that we can do nothing without him. That's what it says in that scripture. Without me, you can do nothing. We are part of the vine. And hopefully, we're being pruned. We can't then leave the vine and get on with it ourselves and do our own thing. You see, fruit bearing, I read this somewhere. I'm sorry, I can't tell you where, but it's a lovely statement. Fruit bearing for God is not a human possibility. It's Christ's work through us. I love that statement. I'll read it again. Fruit bearing for God is not a human possibility. It is Christ's work through us. You see, separate from God, no fruit. United with Christ, much fruit. You know, I came to a point in my life a lot of years ago. I've been a Christian a long time. You all know how old I am. I've had my big birthday recently, so we won't go there. But I became a Christian when I was 14. But I've never known a time in my life when I didn't know Jesus because my parents were wonderful Christians. But I decided to follow Jesus. But I have to say it was quite a few years, really, before I actually understood and really got going everything God wanted to give me and how my life changed when I did. I would do things for God, but I honestly have to say I didn't see a lot of fruit. Little bits here and there, but not a lot of fruit. And I kept seeing people who really were having a lot of fruit in their ministry, and I wanted to be like that. And gradually I realized, through the help of some lovely friends, that I was missing something. I had allowed Jesus into my life, the Holy Spirit was there, but I hadn't given him absolutely everything in my life, absolutely everything about my life. I hadn't asked him to come in and fill me with his Holy Spirit like he did those first disciples. I did that. It was a long process, believe you me, and a long and painful process. But I've never looked back from that moment, because from that moment, God gave me a new strength, a new power. He filled me with such amazing love that I began to minister in a different way, just an ordinary way. It doesn't mean I had to stand up here and do it. In an ordinary way, I was able to share his love and to bear fruit in ministry and in love. And you know, if we're bearing fruit, all it's doing is bringing glory to God. That's what bearing fruit is, bringing glory to God. We need to have a continual dependence on our living Lord, who dwells within us by his Holy Spirit. We need to be in submission to him at all times. You know, remaining is an active word. Obeying Jesus is not a grim, forbidding thing. It's about real life and freedom. Verse 11 in this passage, which we didn't read this morning, so I encourage you to go on and read the rest of John 15. But verse 11 says this: I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And when he's pruning us, when he's changing us, when he's asking us to go forward, it's so we experience more of the wonder and the joy of our Lord. What Jesus asks of us is never a burden. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Let's pray. God our Father, we thank you that you call us to abide in you. And Lord, I pray that if there's any of us here this morning who are struggling with that, of realizing that we can really abide in you and you in us, please help us now to just come close to you and say, I'm yours, Lord, and receive that wonder and that love. And for all of us, Lord, encourage us to remain there, to get to know you more and more, to be stronger and stronger in our love for you and our love for your wonderful world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.